The girls were more peaceable. They were chiefly employed in skipping, and only abused one another mildly when the rope was not properly turned or the skipper did not jump sufficiently high. Worst off of all were the very young children, for there had been no rain for weeks, and the street was as dry and clean as a covered court, and, in the lack of mud to wallow in, they sat about the road, disconsolate as poets. The number of babies was prodigious. They sprawled about everywhere, on the pavement, round the doors, and about their mother's skirts. The grown-ups were gathered round the open doors. There were usually two women squatting on the doorstep, and two or three more seated on either side of on chairs. They were invariably nursing babies, and most of them showed clear signs that the present object of the maternal care would soon be ousted by a new arrival. Men were less numerous, but such as there were leant against the walls, smoking or sat on the sills of the ground floor windows. It was the dead season in Beer Street, as much as in Belgravia, and really, if it had not been for babies just come or just about to come, and an opportune murder in a neighbouring doss house, there would have been nothing whatever to talk about. As it was, little groups talked quietly, discussing the atrocity or the merits of the local midwives, comparing the circumstances of their various confinements.
"You'll be having your little trouble soon, eh, Polly?" asked one good lady of another.
"Oh, I reckon I've got another 2 months to go yet," answered Polly.
"Well," said a third, "I wouldn't have thought you'd go so long by the look of you."
"I hope you'll have it easier this time, my dear," said a very stout old person, a woman of great importance.
"She said she wasn't going to have no more when the last one come."
This remark came from Polly's husband.
"Ah," said the stout old lady, who was in the business and boasted vast experience,
"that's what they all says, but Lord bless you, they don't mean it.
Well, I've got three, and I'm not going to have no more. Blimey, if I will. 'Tain't good enough, that's what I says."
"You're about right there, old gal," said Polly.
"My word, Harry, if you have any more, I'll get a divorce, that I will."
At that moment, an organ grinder turned the corner and came down the street.
"Good biz, here's an organ," cried half a dozen people at once.
The organ man was an Italian, with a shock of black hair and a ferocious moustache. Drawing his organ to a favourable spot, he stopped, released his shoulder from the leather straps by which he dragged it, and cocking his large soft hat on the side of his head, began turning the handle. It was a lively tune, and in less than no time a little crowd had gathered round to listen, chiefly the young men and the maidens, for the married ladies were never in a fit state to dance, and therefore disinclined to trouble themselves to stand round the organ. There was a moment's hesitation at opening the ball. Then one girl said to another,
"Come on, Florrie, you and me ain't shy. We'll begin and bust it."
The two girls took hold of one another, one acting gentleman, the other lady. Three or four more pairs of girls immediately joined them, and they began a waltz. They held themselves very upright, with an air of grave dignity, which was quite impressive, glided slowly about, making their steps with the utmost precision, bearing themselves with sufficient decorum for a court ball. After a while, the men began to itch for a turn, and two of them, taking hold of one another in the most approved fashion, waltzed round the circle with the gravity of judges. All at once there was a cry,
"There's Liza!"
And several members of the group turned and called out,
"Ooh, look at Liza!"
The dancers stopped to see the sight, and the organ grinder, having come to the end of his tune, ceased turning the handle and looked to see what was the excitement.
"Ooh, Liza!" they called out. "Look at Liza, ooh, I say."
It was a young girl of about 18, with dark eyes and an enormous fringe, puffed out and curled and frizzed, covering her whole forehead from side to side, and coming down to meet her eyebrows. She was dressed in brilliant violet and with great lappets of velvet, and she had on her head an enormous black hat covered with feathers.
"I say, ain't she got up, Dossie?" called the groups at the doors as she passed.
"Dressed to death. And kill the fashion, that's what I calls it."
Liza saw what a sensation she was creating. She arched her back and lifted her head, and walked down the street, swaying her body from side to side, and swaggering along as though the whole place belonged to her.
"Have you bought the street, Bill?"
shouted one youth, and then half a dozen burst forth at once, as if by inspiration.
"Not doing the old Kent Road."
It was immediately taken up by a dozen more, and they all yelled it out.
"Knocked him in the old Kent Road. Yeah, I knocked him in the old Kent Road." "Who, Liza?" they shouted.
The whole street joined in, and they gave long, shrill, ear-piercing shrieks and strange calls that rung down the street and echoed back again.